One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for coming back to our show. Kellens is out this week, so Groobs is filling in again for him. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
The newly married Groobs.
That's right. Yep. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
We all went out to Boston and Salem for that, and that was awesome. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So, guys, want to start off the show with this article I saw. There's a viral picture of this little kid sitting at what looks to be a pizza parlor table.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Looking dejected as hell.
Yeah, like a 10-year-old kid.
He's six.
Oh, is he six?
He's six.
That's a fat 6-year-old.
And it was, I saw this on one of my news outlets, actually on all of them. It was like, this 6-year-old boy, no one showed up to his party. It's being circulated right now by several news outlets in Arizona. Here's the thing. This kid sucks. I know it. And here's why I say that is because that's the first thing I thought. I'm like, yeah, he's probably an asshole. And I knew when I said it on my various social media pages, I knew I was going to get the, that's not cool. I'm like, who am I hurting?
So you just, you did the reverse of your pet peeve where anytime you criticize someone or make fun of someone, you have these people popping out of the woodwork. You don't know his story. You
right,
know his
right.
So you just did the reverse where everyone feels bad for this kid.
And I know
and
his
said,
story.
You yes. don't know his story. He's a fucking asshole.
I know his fucking story. This kid stinks. Yeah. I fucking see it. Because here's why I think that also, okay? When I was a kid, like 6 years old.
No one came to your party?
Well, no, opposite. I didn't have very many friends. I had two friends, JT and Graham. All we talked about was horror movies, Nickelodeon, and Mortal Kombat 2.
And at one point, you're like, we're six. Why are we able to see horror movies? It seems like our parents are being negligent.
Hey, he did the best he could.
My
don't know his story.
My parents would take us to the video store, and they did not give a fuck what we rent. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers? Sure. Just put on. I got one horror movie, and it didn't matter how violent or depraved or sex-filled
so
it was.
So did mine, but it was horrible parenting. Well, I mean,
yeah.
We're getting off on a tangent, but let me just point out, when they were kids, horror movies was Dracula. They didn't realize how much they upped the ante in the 80s.
Well, no, our parents were kids in the 60s. They had the Hammer movies, which were all like boobs and shit, you know?
Whatever. Anyways, the reason I think this kid sucks is because
his parents don't let him watch horror movies.
I had very few friends, but I threw a birthday party at a pizza parlor. 13 kids there instantly.
Sure.
Kids I'd never hang out with.
Yeah,
and that was the same way. Like, if some kid I didn't even like would give me a card to a birthday party, I'm like, oh, you're having this at Bubba Bear's Pizza and Games? They got fucking Terminator 2 and Alien vs. Predator.
You had to be a real asshole if your friends choose to not eat pizza.
Right.
You know, if they avoid you when there's pizza literally on the table.
Yeah.
But Ryan, I've been thinking about this because you do have a point. You're 100% right, and I have that same perspective. Except I wonder if it's different now. Because, like, I have nieces that are, like, 7 and 9 and stuff. They literally have, like, 2 or 3 birthday parties a weekend.
But some will spill over to yours. I mean, yes, you are competing with other birthdays.
No. But what I'm saying is, I think it's less of an... Like, before, when we were kids, you're right. Like, a birthday party was a big celebration. It was a big deal. Now it's like, oh, this is the fourth one this weekend.
Well, it's probably kind of like porn when you're a kid. Like, when I was a kid, there was a kid I hated, and I would hang out with him just because his parents were never home and his dad had Playboys. And so I was like, okay, he's like, you want to play Nintendo? I'm like, no, let's go look at your dad's Playboy.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, with the
right
availability of porn, like I
you never see that kid anymore.
Yeah, that kid would be alone at his fucking
party. It'd be weird if you're calling him up in your 30s. Hey, bud, what's up with your dad's Playboy?
Your dad's still alive?
Well, I'm not really interested in him exactly. Did you inherit the collection?
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, I wonder if this is the unintended consequences of a rule that was designed to help kids out, but I think was a bad rule, which is at some point, and this was not the case when I was a kid. I don't know if it was when you were. They instituted a rule in schools where if you invite any kid in your class to your birthday party, you have to invite the entire class. So this is now a widely held rule in elementary schools. So if you say, hey, I want to invite Timmy and John, I got to invite the entire class. Well, what does that mean? That means that every kid now has fucking 5 birthday parties every weekend that they're invited to.
Maybe so, but I'm just thinking back to the one kid whose birthday I did not go to on purpose.
Sure.
It's this kid that, like, right when I transferred schools from like Palm Desert to Orange County, like, this kid just had it in for me the minute I got there. Just every day something shitty to say, and one day he hands me his fucking invitation to his birthday party. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind?
School made me do this.
You fucking give me verbal abuse every day. You think you're gonna tone it down at your party? You're gonna be more of a monster. Absolutely not. And no one came to his thing because he was a fucking dick.
That's true. He could... Listen, I'm not backing this up. I'm saying you're probably right. He is probably a dick because even if that scenario where kids are just overdone with birthday parties happened, you'd expect that his best friends...
Two or three.
Yeah, you have one or two like been waiting all year for it.
Right.
You know?
So like you could be like, all right, my best friend's Billy and he got pneumonia right beforehand. But if you can't pull two or three subsequent friends at six
By
or
the
seven,
way, let's just point this out too. Who is this parent that's taking a fucking photo of that right then? Like,
yeah, and why did they order 13 pizzas if they knew no one showed up? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like this kid's sitting there looking dejected. I'm like, what? That's supposed to be a private moment between parent and son. Like, hey, buddy, like, you know what? There was a big accident on the freeway. That's why no one's here. They really wanted to be. You know what? This is good. We'll have the arcade and the ball pit to ourselves. It's actually better this way.
Yeah.
Not like, hey, smile for the camera,
look
loser.
Look as sad as possible. Yeah.
Wait, Groot, what if you're right, though? What if they did order the 13 pizzas after he didn't show up because they realized when no one showed up that their kid was an asshole, and they decided to go that route where the angry dad makes you smoke the whole carton of cigarettes? No one shows up to your birthday party? I paid for this shit. You're going to eat all of this pizza.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I don't want to go all Alex Jones, but maybe they're staging this for pity.
Well, yeah, that was the thought, too.
Maybe they're hoping Kobe or some sports guy is going to be
at
pity on
best,
this kid.
At best, it's suspicious because that's exactly what did happen.
Yeah.
And that's why when people online were like, hey, don't make fun of the kid. I'm like, he's doing just fine.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
The Phoenix Suns contacted him and said...
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Follow the money. Follow the money and pizzas.
Right. So at best, it's suspicious. Otherwise, you just have this horrible parallel. Like, okay, Timmy, do you know what the word morose means?
Yeah.
Okay,
no.
Remember that time I accidentally flushed your fucking turtle down the garbage disposal? Oh, yeah. Perfect. That's the look I'm looking for. Like, what'd you do after you took that photo? Say, thanks for nothing, faggot, and slap the pizza out of his hand?
I do like how you have become the Alex Jones of this. You're going to attack his parents in a Vons parking lot and just start screaming at him, there never was any pizza!
I'm a Chuck E. Cheese truther now.
You did this to take away our gun rights.
You're a flatbreader.
The frogs are going gay.
He's a thin cruster.
You know, something about Republican conspiracy theories, they always come back to pizza parlors. Yeah. Who knows why?
Oh, shit. It all connects.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Follow that money. But you know what? One of the things that I got some flack for when I posted, basically my
for
joke.
For making
was,
a joke like you always do?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. My joke was a picture of that. And I'm basically like, this kid sucks. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Pencils down, social justice warriors.
Yeah.
I know what you're going to say. It's a kid. Neither this kid or anyone he knows is ever going to see this joke unless you tweet it to him.
Yeah.
In which case, who's the asshole there? But like one person, this was great. She came at me hard. Some chick that used to live in town and had to leave because she sucked. She's like, hey, this is not cool. I feel this really hard. I'm like, I know. You suck. That's why no one comes to your thing. You're proving my point.
Yeah.
No one ever came to any of your shit because you are an asshole.
Yeah.
And just like that bully from fourth grade, you don't get that fucking being an asshole the other 300 some odd days of the year doesn't just suspend all of a sudden when you want people to show up to your thing.
Because she's been, you know, reinforced to believe that if she's an asshole, she gets 13 pizzas to herself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm like, side tangent, this chick, when she left town, I guess subconsciously she knew no one would show up to her going away party, because who would?
Yeah,
and like, so
she filled it with cardboard cutouts there.
No, the same night the Strikers, one of the most popular bands in Southern California, rock bands anyway, they were having a big show at like Soda Bar or something. She's like, hey, I'm having my going away party at the Strikers show at Soda Bar.
It. She piggybacked.
Yeah, and then like the whole next day, oh my God, I'm so flattered that hundreds of people came out to my going away party. The Strikers played my going away party. I'm like, oh, by those rules, Metallica played my birthday, bitch.
That's a great new tactic to do.
Hey, yeah, Danzig played my fucking graduation party that I happened to throw at the House of Blues without permission.
Right.
I can only assume that's why he was there and maybe pay for a ticket.
Well, no, Ryan, you phrased that wrong. The party you threw at the House of Blues, which they didn't even ask you to get permission.
Yeah, impromptu.
Impromptu. Then everyone just showed up wearing Danzig
t-shirts. And Danzig knew you didn't like being put on the spot, so he treated you like every other anonymous
fan. Like everyone else, I didn't want a lot of
fanfare.
General
admission, you know, didn't
acknowledge
you. I did
have 13 pizzas. He appreciated that. He's a big guy.
You know what you should do, Ryan? You should copy that picture of the kid alone at the birthday party and just start posting it every time we have a show where no one shows up. This is us. Hopefully pretty soon we'll have the Phoenix Suns and everyone of our shows.
If that viral picture you're still famous in that time, the next it flyer should be you guys, like, you know, photoshopped over the kid.
Yeah. I think that's every flyer now is just me alone looking sad at a pizza parlor. Comedy show tonight, if you want.
I mean, listen.
There will be pizza.
There'll be 13 pizzas. Just come on by.
Yeah. So anyway, fuck
Speaking
that
Speaking of Danzig, 13 pizzas sounds like a song he would write, like, nowadays.
It does, doesn't yeah. it? So anyway, speaking of social justice police, it's Halloween season now,
woo!
Which means there's two types of people that I'm going to be... Well, there's several types of people, but there's two specifically that I cannot stand during the Halloween season. Number one is, let me tell you all why dressing your kid as a pirate is offensive and wrong and rape. There's a lot of rape going on there.
It's anti-pirate.
It's, yeah. It is Ooh. Cultural appropriation. You know, there's that person, Superman, super person. Thank you. That's what we're doing this mm-hmm. year. And then there's the other side of that coin, though, that's way worse. Like, I'm going in blackface and I'm going to be Trayvon yeah. Martin with a bullet hole in my forehead. Yeah. You know, and I'm gonna be lynched and it's going to be awesome with a Blue Lives Matter dildo up my ass.
Like,
if you don't like it, you fucking, you're too sensitive.
Like the girl who showed up as the Boston Marathon bombing victim like a month after it happened.
Oh,
remember
wow.
that? Yeah.
There's always some guy. Yeah. Remember after 9/11? That was like the birth of the edgelords.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going as a terrorist. I'm going to have a camo jacket with a turban and a fake beard. And I'm going to have a little baggie of anthrax I'm going to throw on people. Like, it just happened,
well,
man.
In 2011 or 12, like I was out here in San Diego. The guy at my work won the costume contest by dressing as... Bin Laden with a skull instead of a face, and I'm like first
because
of all
that means patriotism.
I'm like, first of all, it's well over a decade. Like, you're not really striking when the iron's yeah, hot right. here. And then
topical or, idiot.
Or, yeah, and think it was before Bin Laden actually died too. So
he's just talking out of his ass.
Yeah, like, or he's a psychic.
Or he had that laying around from 2001. Yeah, he's like, yeah. You know what? It's been 10 years. I can dunk the dust off this.
Yeah,
it was a big hit back then. Big
I definitely
hit.
Had a point in my life where I was doing edgy costumes, and I had fun with it, and it's cool. It is whatever it is. But
what's the edgiest costume?
You should grow out of it. Okay, so this is a true one.
There was the left tower, and I kept falling down.
There was a kid who went to like elementary school, middle school, high school with me and my friends, who was the spoiled rich kid,
uh-huh.
like totally just into himself, didn't care about anyone else, totally had no empathy, was probably some form of psychopath. He ended up knocking up a chick, not telling anybody. And then she had the baby. The baby was like 8 months old. She was finally like, hey, listen, I need some child support. Otherwise, I'm going to have to tell people that this is your kid. And he's like, no, my family's going to kill me. Again, wealthy family. So he like snuck in and murdered her and the baby.
I think I remember you telling me the story. And
is this the one? Yeah,
the judge made him put a picture
yes.
of them. Oh,
yeah, the judge, great judge, dude. He was like, yeah. Oh, not only are you sentenced to a life sentence, you have to have a picture of her and her baby
it, like,
in
judge
yourself.
Edgar Allan Poe? Or...
Meanwhile, Bobby's there with a sponge finger and a beer hat. Like, woo, I love this guy.
So I dressed as him that year.
Come on.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you had a baby doll on a charger cord.
I did.
No!
I did. Edgy costume. Listen. Edgy costumes, they are what they are. But I also wasn't walking around in general public, and general public would not know that story. I went to a party with a bunch of friends. It was just us getting our sick kicks. It is whatever it is. It is a little different when you can offend somebody who has legitimately been hurt. Like, if you go out in a 9/11 costume in 2002, and you're walking around the streets of New York, you're a dick. Because there's somebody who has lost people who you're being a dick to. Where I went, what we did, there was nobody who would have been offended by that.
I'm like, I'm never offended by it, but I'm just more like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like this guy, this comic, he was like, this is like back in 2011. I'm not a big fan of the Jackass guys, but Ryan Dunn had just died in a car accident from drunk driving. He's like, I'm going as Ryan Dunn. I'm gonna have a steering wheel wrapped around my head. I'm gonna have a beer bottle. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Cool. I'm not offended, but cool.
This guy doesn't care whose toes he steps on.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no. I hope you don't run into those guys.
Yeah.
Dress like that in Chester County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, see what happens.
So, John, what about you? What's the most edgelord costume you've either done or seen?
I've never done an edgelord costume. My pet peeve is the costume that's just a sexual innuendo, like a bad joke. Like the guy goes as a plug and the girl goes as an outlet.
Right.
Okay.
A guy goes as a breathalyzer test and the part you're supposed to blow in is like right over his crotch.
It's down there, right? The genie, but the lamp is his dick and it says rub me.
And
it's
not really offensive. It's just like, who the fuck thinks this is funny?
Are you like 6 years old?
Yeah. By the way,
this is why no one comes to your birthday party, you fucking moron.
My wife and I did the is for one of Ryan's Halloween parties, like 2 or 3 years back. Uh-huh. I went with a blow-up doll wrapped around me as if I was having sex with it. Yeah. And then the skeleton on my back that's with a name tag that said dad. Yeah. And the blow-up doll had a name tag that said mom, and I was an Oedipal complex.
Yes, and I remember I guessed it, and you were like,
you were the only one who guessed
it. You were so proud of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then my wife came. She was wearing like a little nightie that was called a slip, and it had a bunch of psychological
Freudian
terms,
slip.
And she was a Freudian slip.
Yeah, well, that's creative. Like, the what we're talking about is like, look, the baby bottle is my dick. See, that's why it's funny, because it's a dick. I remember this guy. This is, it wasn't really breaking news. Like, people have been coming forward about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church forever, but like this one year, this dude was a priest and he had like a baby doll like on his.
I think
dick
I've
or
actually
something.
That's a costume they sell. Like
cool. He
didn't just make that. Like there's enough people that think. This
oh, so
is
he, wasn't even, creative enough to do that.
At the very least, it's what do you guys call that when you come up with a joke and another comic has a joke?
Hacky.
well, yeah, but.
Parallel thought.
That's it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about the Catholic one. See, that's the double-edged sword. One is, you wouldn't want to do that because there's probably somebody at the party you were at who was molested by a Catholic priest because it's so
fucking
prevalent.
Well, it depends on how many Catholics
prevalent.
You hang out with.
Because it's so insanely prevalent that it most likely did happen, so that sucks because you're mocking them. However, I have absolutely no sympathy for people who are like, hey, that's really offensive to Catholics. It's like, fuck no, it's not. That's accurate.
Yeah.
So yesterday, by the way, I was shooting a TV commercial for the San Diego Symphony.
Yeah, I was going to ask what your new commercial was.
Yeah, it's...
That is the least likely person I would have thought would have ever hired you for a commercial.
Well, that's what they were going for. Like, it's a bunch of different people, like, saying how much they love the symphony, and it's supposed to cut to a tough-looking guy who all of a sudden loves the symphony.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like, look, he talks gay. That's the joke. But, like,
that could be your Halloween costume.
I essentially needed to dress like a biker, and in the commercial, I was supposed to all of a sudden produce a little faggy dog on my lap, you know?
Uh-huh.
So they had a little dog on set, right? He's supposed to be on my lap. This thing, usually dogs love me. When I walk in this house, your dog loves me.
Yeah, she does.
This fucking dog was so terrified of me. It looked like I had like the lament configuration from Hellraiser in my hand. I was like cackling like fucking Pinhead. Like this thing was terrified of me and no one else.
Yeah.
So they kept trying to put it on my lap. It would like freak out and jump back off. Even with treats and his owner stroking, he's like, no, not this fucking guy. And then I'm like, they're all trying to like make me feel better. They're like, don't worry, it's just because you're not his owner. And right as he said that, like he jumped on the lap of somebody he'd never met before.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, dude, it's hard to take it, not to take it personally now.
Wouldn't it be great if there was a key grip walking around who was like a comedian just decided to throw it off and be like, hey, did you guys know that was a child molestation detection dog?
Oh, God. You know what? The thing was, when this thing was freaking out, as a comic, I knew how many ins people had to make a horrible joke at my expense.
Right. Yeah.
Luckily, no one there had that gift.
Yeah.
So, but like, here's the thing. This is why I was so upset, is because I judge people when animals won't go near them.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
That dog is a very good judge of character, and it doesn't like you.
What?
So now I feel like at least 3 other people on set feel like have that theory. I can feel them judging me like, he must kick dogs.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
Well, I remember a while ago you were reading Kelsey Grammer's autobiography, and you pointed out to me, because you thought it was so funny how much of a rivalry he had with the dog that played Eddie.
Yeah, Moose.
Moose. And,
a rivalry?
Yes.
Yeah, he was jealous of this fucking dog on set. He's like, I'm an actor. What that animal does is training. It's not acting. Like,
yes.
He was like,
he had
like
a whole
incensed.
Chapter in his fucking book, Kelsey Grammer, about how much he did not like sharing the limelight with this fucking dog.
But I hope you get it now.
Hold on. Stating, I'm an actor, this is a trained dog, isn't some crazy revelation you came to on a mushroom trip.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
Oh,
yeah,
dude, he was on so much cocaine when he wrote that book,
though. Oh, yeah. And it's Kelsey Grammer. Like,
he's jealous of the affections a dog
has from
the audience.
And around the time he wrote that book, he was very full of himself and cocaine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was at the height of his fucking career and on a mound of cocaine.
Yeah, I'm a huge Frasier fan. They had to film episodes around his stints in rehab and when he showed up too fucked up. Oh, yeah.
And it's fun to spot those, too, when you're watching reruns.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, you get to nearly the end of the episode, like,
this is a very Niles-heavy scene.
I'm like, Kelsey Grammer like was at the beginning like, I'm going on vacation, goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is a coke episode. Yes! This is a rehab episode. So, he did have a problem with the dog. So did I on set. Also, though, there was one of those snarky actresses on set. I forgot how much I dislike female actresses for the same reason.
Are those the only ones?
I was going to say.
For the same reason I dislike brand new male comics, which is they always feel like they need to have a little snappy thing to say. Everything. I couldn't move without this chick going like, So they always have to be reminding you that they're in the biz.
Like, was she in a scene with you, or just she?
Yeah, she had this line directly before mine. But like everything out of her mouth was my agent. When I was on set, that I can't stand anybody that is constantly reminding you I'm in entertainment. Yeah. I got so many friends like that. Like when I'm talking to them, they can't just say, hey, man, you want to grab a beer? Like, I'm on location for my latest film. I'm like, you know what? Let's take it down a notch.
Yeah.
I also want to tell those people, like, even if your agent told you you should buy this car, just say my friend. You'll sound less like a douchebag.
Yeah.
Even if it's the truth that your agent told you this or that, just say some, dude. I won't ask questions. Speaking of old friends, I have one friend that's in here right now. My buddy Will from high school's in town. He's staying with me for the weekend. I almost had two friends in town from high school. We were going to get the
Did they go to your birthday party when you were a kid?
One of them. No. So it was going to be cool. Like, the three of us haven't seen each other, been all in the same room since high school.
Right.
But he couldn't do it since he was he's in the Navy. He's being shuffled around. Well, then I started thinking about it. I'm like, all right, since high school, I mean, we were all in a band together. We all, you know, that was fine. He joined the Navy, went to the Naval Academy,
Wait, he went to the Naval Academy?
Yeah, he went to Annapolis.
Okay.
Is now a high-ranking member of the military. He's a pilot, you know. He super embraced his Christian faith, had a couple of kids. So suddenly I'm like, what would we have to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
That's a very sad thing, but I love the guy to death, but I'm like, I just don't think I'd have, that'd just be awkward. Like, so you remember when, we got Ed Breacher drunk in high school? We left him at his house? Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, no, you wouldn't. I guess you weren't there for that. So Jesus, huh? You're into him? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Dude, that exact same thing happened to my buddy at the Air Force Academy. He left school a brilliant, brilliant dude. He was just one of the smartest guys I'd ever met in my life. Went off to the Air Force Academy. And Air Force Academy, even more so than the Naval Academy or West Point, is completely isolated. It's in the middle of Colorado Springs. There's nothing for 100 miles.
Ew, I played Colorado Springs.
Yeah, oh, it's horrible. All it is mega churches and the Air Force Academy and the Olympic Training Center. Those are the only things up
there. What else do you need?
Because I got trapped there almost, because after my gig in Colorado Springs, there was one bus going back to Denver that I had a flight to catch out of the Denver airport. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's been canceled. And I'm like, when's the next one? They're like, next one? I'm like, well, can I get a taxi? They're like, taxi? They're like, no, you're on an island here, okay? Yeah. Well, if that one bus ain't coming, you ain't going no place.
And he went to, like, Ted Haggard's church and stuff, like huge mega churches. It's just a horrible place. And you realize that if you get somebody at just the right age and go for the total brainwashing, because in the academies, you're not allowed, especially your freshman year, there is no free time. You are in class, or you are in your work session, or you are in drill, or you are in something. There is no free time. The only free time you get is, if you choose to, you can get an hour and a half to 2 hours on Sunday to go to church. And if you say, no, I don't want to go to church, you don't get free time.
Yeah.
You're cleaning
the
bathroom.
So it's like smokers get to leave their desk every 10 minutes.
Yes,
yeah.
And so like he got super into crazy fundamentalist evangelical Christianity.
Yikes.
And he went from being one of the most scientifically minded, brilliant people I've ever met to a guy who literally believes that the devil planted fossils. Yeah. Like, he's out there with a pickaxe and stuff. Like,
oh, that must fucking burn your ass.
I'm glad he finally woke up.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was really sad because he's an incredibly talented dude. Same thing, went on, was a career Air Force officer for a while, flew planes, did the whole nine yards. I think now he's out in the civilian sector. But I had the same thing where I'm like, this guy and I were such close friends for such a long time. We were in all the same study groups, all the same academic stuff. And now I have nothing that I could talk to about. What am I supposed to write him on Facebook? Hey, how's it going? You want to see some fossils that the devil planted that I found earlier today?
That's one of the big reasons I never joined the military, because I considered it like after college. I'm like, oh, I'll go in as an officer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I had some friends that joined the Marines, and a lot of them, big personalities going in. Like, you know, at any given time, they'd be flirting with three different girls at once and just very funny and outgoing. And when they'd get out, man, they just had this 1,000-mile stare. And it's
did they get deployed?
They got deployed. Okay. You know, I mean, some of that was some shell shock. But, like, it's just being in these barracks for 4 years straight with getting, like, 1 weekend a month to go nuts where you, like, get alcohol poisoning and come right back.
Marry a stripper.
Yeah, marry a stripper. And then, like, or some stupid girl you do in high school for a, went to a dance with. They just come out. I'd be like, so, and even years after being out, it just never left him. I'd be like, hey, this is my friend Carol. You guys should meet. Do you work? Sorry. Yeah, like, they lost all their social abilities. Now they just have a GI Bill they're never going to fucking use.
See, most people I know who joined the military were forced to do so from a judge. It was during the Iraq War when there was that big recruitment drive, and they were like, yeah, you're a gang member? Sure, we'll get you.
They literally just cut all the requirements.
Yeah, a lot of my friends were forced into that. It wasn't through patriotism or anything. And then when they came back, they were the same assholes, but worse, because now they knew, or they at least thought they could beat the shit out of people.
Well, even worse is like they stopped doing that because they were sending gang members over there, and they were coming back with military training.
Yeah.
And so now they're shooting up gas stations like, oh my God, he's using slicing the pie. That's a fucking Marine tactic. What have we done?
My buddy who was in Iraq, and he went voluntarily, sort of. He ran out of money midway through college and was like, oh, they'll pay college? I guess I'll join the army and go to Iraq. He was like, dude, you think when you're a little kid, like, oh man, this guy's in the military. He's got his shit together. He's somebody I should respect and all this stuff. He's like, I'll tell you right now, like literally 10 people in my unit got committed here by a judge because they were brought up on methamphetamine charges. Oh, I'm surrounded by a bunch of fucking meth head losers. And he's like, and they keep telling me that I want to sacrifice myself for my brothers. I wouldn't sacrifice my fucking pinky nail for these guys. These people are fucking assholes.
Yeah. There's a guy that some story came out about someone shot up a school probably. And so, and like clockwork, the right wingers come out. If these guys like shooting so much, we should give them a gun and make them go to Iraq. We literally tried what you're describing. Yeah. Guess what? There's not just terrorists over there. They open fire on civilian villages. I love that. Like, we just send them to Iraq and they'll go nuts. Like, there's fucking innocents over there.
Yeah, well, not just that. It was even worse.
It's not just a land of terrorists.
It was worse back in Vietnam. Vietnam was even worse because we actually drafted people, like, just out of the general population and sent them. And we had, maskers and stuff. My dad, who was an officer in Vietnam, was like, yeah, you could tell people who were drafted. They didn't want to be there. It was usually more of a hindrance to have them there than to have brought them.
Not only that, but most of the people got drafted were the ones who couldn't afford to figure out a way to get out of being drafted.
They didn't have bone spurs.
So you already got these crazy people, you got drug addicted people, and now you're forcing them to go, like, that's the
I'm trying to right now
idea.
Think of all the, I'm thinking of famous, like, movie characters getting their draft notice. I'm thinking of, like, Buffalo Bill doing his penis tuck dance, and all of a sudden a draft notice falling through the mail slot, like, ooh, what do we have here? You're going. All right. So, John, elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You got married.
I did. I tied the knot.
Yeah. Any
regrets?
Yeah.
Plenty.
Yeah, it's not too late. You probably haven't consummated it
yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Get an annulment. It's easy.
Well, actually, we had a decision to make about that because our bridal suite, the room next door to it, we found out they booked my wife's parents.
No.
Yeah. As soon as they got to the hotel, they hung out with us in our room because their room wasn't ready yet. And then they get a call. It's the front desk. Dad goes downstairs, comes back up, and he's like, okay, we're moving stuff. I help them with their luggage out into the hallway. It's the very next fucking room.
Now, did you and him do a weird exchange of looks like, or did they not even recognize
it? My jaw kind of dropped, and I went wide-eyed. I looked at my wife, my now wife, and hers did too. And then her dad cut the tension by turning around and looking at us and goes, if you guys hear any banging on the wall, don't just ignore it. That's just us. Don't worry.
We're just consummating our father of the bride.
And John just started throwing up.
Yeah, I almost threw up. I really almost threw up.
Oh no, thanks.
But fortunately, the bridal suite was big enough, so they were next to the living room we got, and then the bedroom was shared a wall with some other unfortunate
staff.
What the fuck? Because they had blocked out a couple rooms for friends and family up there. Someone should have.
I know. I requested that room. I had my little listening device.
Stethoscope.
Stethoscope.
A little pocket recorder.
What a waste.
Yeah. So Groups, do you enjoy the initial parts of being married where you first get to start saying my wife for the first time ever? And it's a little weird.
It's still fucking weird. You know, I did it for the shock value and the see Tara's expression change. And that's it. You know, just kind of over it. It's like, I've been calling her girlfriend for 10 years.
Yeah, I still do that everyone. I've been married for years. I still do that everyone.
I never even got used to calling her fiance.
I actually switched. Once we had a kid, I started referring to her as my baby mama.
Okay.
And that's way cool. better yeah, than yeah, wife. Yeah.
Yeah. I like wife because you don't have to explain anything. Like when Aaron and I owned a house together, raising a kid, kid together, you know, all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if she got hurt, I'd tell my boss, my girlfriend needs me. It just doesn't have any weight to it.
Yeah.
They're like, go fuck yourself. I don't care if the girl you're fucking right now stubbed her toe. But if you say, my wife is in trouble, like, go.
Yeah.
Go, man, go. Don't even worry about it.
Legally,
don't even worry about
I can pull the plug on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, I never thought that's enough.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, perks just keep going.
Yeah. Oh, dude, let me tell you about taxes, pulling the plug, joint loan documents. Oh, here's the best part. And this is something I've been thinking for a long time. There is literally a rule that says certain people cannot testify against you in court. Your lawyer, your doctor, and your wife. The U.S. government is encouraging you to commit crimes and brag about them to this person.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply to Tara. She told me if I'm dumb enough to get caught doing a crime, she's going to be the first one there, and she's going to make shit up even. Yeah, I picked the wrong wife for that.
Yeah, she didn't even go to your birthday party either.
Yeah.
I had an interesting thing while you guys were gone. As you know, Ryan, I've been diligently trying to build a house on some land we bought and running into a lot of problems. So one of them is I have to get some clearance from one of the neighbors for some fire stuff. Like I'm running a fire line near his house and I have to get clearance from him. So I wrote him a letter basically saying, hey, my name's Bobby. Here's my family. I live over here. I got to clear some area near your house.
Is this the same neighbor you met and had the
No. I haven't met this guy. And
how many neighbors? Because I picture you to like have a cabin in the woods, but you keep mentioning all these like new neighbors.
22 neighbors.
Okay.
I'm building in the middle of Old Town.
Yeah. So I sent him this thing like, hey, I just need to talk to you at some point. Waited. Didn't hear anything back. Finally got an email back yesterday as I was like driving home and I look at it and he was like, first of all, the fire department you claimed on this paper is not our fire department. I called them anyway. They don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who you are, but I don't need to respond to you. I think this is a scam. And I was like,
scam.
So every one of your all 22 of your neighbors are assholes.
Maybe
13 pizza having like no birthday friends. Assholes.
No one came to any of these guys' birthdays ever.
You found the colony where all those kids go.
They all grouped together and agreed to go to each other's birthdays so that would stop happening.
It was like a little
wooden
Chuck E. Cheese they built.
Yeah. So I got caught in this weird situation where I have to prove I'm not a Nigerian scam artist.
Yeah.
Like prove that
which
I am
which I'm not even totally
me.
Convinced of yet.
And then also really prove that I am me, and then also prove that like I own the property behind him and all this stuff. And so like I sent another email and I made the mistake of like desperately resending it when I got this, and I was like, oh no, oh my god, this guy totally misinterpreted everything. So I sent this like kind of frantic email within an hour trying to like smooth over the problems. And then I reread it and realized it sounds even more like a scammer.
Did you ask for his credit card number or something? Like, what the? First of all, was there any weight to his complaint? Did you contact the wrong fire department?
No. Oh, so here's the problem. The border of El Cajon is his property, so he technically has a different fire department than I do.
Yeah.
And so, yes, technically he is right. His fire department. I included. I was like, listen, I understand what you're saying. That's not your fire department. It is my fire department. Here are my parcel numbers, and here is this, and blah, 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 blah. But I realized, like, the frantic and desperate nature of the email, which was sent in a oh shit mindset, makes me seem way more like a scammer. He hasn't responded, so I think he's just kind of written me off. But it becomes this weird thing where, like, how do you prove who you are over the internet? Because he won't call me or meet me in person. And I even, just coincidentally, that exact day, a article came out from UCSD about a field school that I ran this summer saying like, oh, here's this archaeologist, Bobby, he's running this field school, blah, 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 blah. So I said, oh, and by the way, you know, just to prove I am who I am, I sent him this like linked article.
Here's my headshots too. Now you're like an actress on set.
Yeah, I'm on this guy's side, honestly.
Yeah, and then I reread it later that night and I was like, oh, man, I'm never going to hear about this person. So now I have to solicit options on how I... Because I still need him to sign off on my fire plan for
the
county to give me a building permit.
Bobby's sending him T-ball trophies from when he was six. Yeah. Like, no, I really...
Here I am digging up a skeleton.
Yeah, and now I've got to figure out, like, how I can make contact with this person and, like, make this...
This is just getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
You're going to show up in his backyard like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah. So I was going through your trash the other day, and I noticed...
If this story was told from this other guy's perspective, it's a horror movie.
Yeah, it totally is. It 100%
some
is.
Some single white female guy is trying to fuck with my life.
Well, you know what you do? Invite him to your birthday at Chuck E. Cheese.
Just buy a bunch of pizzas.
Yeah.
Last thing before we go, I forgot one story from Boston. Is the night before John's wedding, we were in Boston proper. And that's a big towny town, as you might assume. And this at the end of the night, we're all drunk. We're trying to go back to our respective trains and subways to get back to our hotels. And we're taking a big group photo in the, like, the heart of Boston. This dude like walks through the photo wearing these bright blue tennis shoes, just gaudy as fuck. And you can tell this guy feels like he's looking good. Like, this is the best he's ever looked.
Oh, yeah. He tied those up listening to Eminem's 8 Mile or whatever. You know, he was...
I was thinking more of the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's better.
But either way, he's cruising through. He's got this cocky look on his face. Yeah. And all of a sudden, my wife, who's taking the picture, goes, "Hey, blue shoes, get in the picture." And he's like, what? She's like, "Get in the picture." He's like, "Okay." And she's like, "Put those ridiculous shoes out. I want to see them. Get them in the frame there." He's like, "Oh." And now, so he snapped a few of this guy.
Erin's a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. She really is. And so we snapped a few pictures of him. He's looking dejected in most of them because it just shattered his illusion. These shoes were cool. And at one point, there's one he's like gawking very creepily at one of our female friends who has blue hair. He's like, "Yeah, shoes match your hair.
Want to sleep head to toe?
Sex." Anyways, there's that. And we are just making fun of this guy. He just walks away sad. So we're now sharing this photo amongst friends. And then someone notices something. They zoom in on the photo. His hand is on what clearly is a gun in his waistband.
Oh, what?
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there's a zoom in. You can see the outline of it. He's holding on to it. I'm like, now I'm just like zooming back to Airly. Look at this guy's fucking stupid shoes. What a fucking moron. I'm like, good. You almost got us murdered in Boston over some ridiculous tennis shoes. Thanks. Anyway, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Bobby and Groove saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. Look, the baby bottle is my dick.
Motherfucking time is passing by.